Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. Since 1994, His Way Out Ministries has been largely based upon our concern regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we continue to seek to minister to those within the church, the community at large, with the truth of Scripture, the power of testimony, and the dialogue of issues. I'm very pleased once again to share with you that joining me on the broadcast today is a friend, ministry colleague, Wayne Blakely, and he is also the founder and director of Know His Love Ministries, and also a soon-to-be-released book, which I'm sure we'll be turning our attention to during the broadcast. Once again, my special guest is Wayne Blakely. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you're doing the same.
I am. It's always great to be a guest on your program.
Well, thank you once again for being here.
Sure.
I want to turn our attention to, first and foremost, that you recently, I think it was in the last couple of weeks, you attended, and more appropriately, you participated in an event that was titled Freedom March Weekend, which was held in Atlanta, Georgia. Would you share some about what happened at this event?
Sure, I'd be happy to. That was it's one of the biggest shots in my arm that I've gotten that was just really inspiring. A gentleman named Jeffrey McCall, who had been transgendered, had a conversion to Jesus and recognized that God had plans for him as a male, not as a projected female, and he was converted, and he began thinking about the aspect that, you know, there's all these pride celebrations every year, but he thought there's also a number of people, in fact, a vast number of people who have left the LGBT plus culture for Jesus Christ, and he thought there needs to be a evidence of that. And so he began the Freedom March parades. They have taken place in Los Angeles, in Washington, D.C., Orlando. It was set up for Atlanta. This was really the third year. However, due to all the COVID regulations, it didn't take place as a march, but it did take place as a get-together from Thursday evening until Saturday evening. And coming together were multiple people who had either been transgender, gay, bisexual, you name it, anything that would be different than what God intended. And the stories of how God reached them. I was to speak, the first one to speak on Friday night, and on Thursday night, I witnessed some very raw testimonies. That was more of a social event initially, and then there were about three testimonies, and a couple of gentlemen who actually turned out to be married now, and I want to make it very clear that marriage is not the antidote for sin, so any listener that thinks, oh, here we go again, but God has done wonderful things in some people's lives that they do end up marrying, and one gentleman thought that, you know, the route out of homosexuality actually was marriage, and so he got married, but he still had same-sex attraction and had all these temptations, and he was kind of still living by them and finding that since they didn't go away, he was going to go ahead and indulge and maintained a 7-year relationship with a man at the same time he was married. Wife finally said to him one day, "What is going on?" So he said, "We pulled over. We were driving and pulled over, and I said, 'Here's what's going on.'" So she set up a dinner, invited the four groomsmen who had stood with him when they got married, and at this dinner they said, "You know, you need to come back to Christ. You need to let go of the things that God doesn't approve of. You have a wife, and you have Jesus Christ, and you have this relationship that's pulling away at you." Well, he said, "I was so embarrassed by it all. I got up and I walked out," but he said, "God started speaking to me." And he said, as a result of that and the faithfulness of his wife, he truly fell deeply in love with her and with her, the patience that she had maintained, and with God for calling him out of darkness into light. And I'm standing by his wife and hugging her, and, you know, the tears are flowing. I begin to see how real God is, that if there are hearts that will respond to him, God will spare nothing to come and get you if you'll agree with him. And no, it's not always an easy walk. So I thought, all right, all the things that I was going to talk about, I'm putting that on, I'm just getting up there. I'm not having anything in my hands. I'm not going to go off of any kind of reminder sheet. And I was able to share just from my heart on Friday evening, and then listened to many people share their testimonies over the course of the weekend, and parents that would come that had been praying for their children, and people who had come to Christ. And then, as you know, the enemy can get in there and mess things up if we're not abiding in Christ constantly. And they had some failures, you know, some fallbacks into pornography, into relationships, or episodes, and yet they see, as which is the emphasis that I like to put on there today, that God is not finished with you if you simply have a fall, but that he is there and will help you to get back up, because Proverbs 24:16 says that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but God never gives up. Sometimes our loved ones do, sometimes the church does, but God doesn't give up. So this is not a road of ultimate perfection. We don't get that until we head home with Jesus. But the fact is that Jesus will not give up on us, and he offers us something so much better than what this world is trying to pacify us with.
Amen to that. You were the very first individual to share testimony at this event?
On Friday night, yeah.
Wow, and how were you received?
I was amazed, because these people, they are like your family. I was just blown away. They stand up in the middle of your talking to applaud, to agree, and to celebrate with you about what God has done. I've never been in a room full of people, of hundreds of people, who were like-minded, who know what you're talking about. They can relate to the aspect of still being tempted, some of them, and the fact that Jesus is worth it all, and he says that we're worth it all, and so he came here and said, "I know you guys can't walk perfectly, but I'm gonna walk on this earth in the midst of chaos and confusion and people spitting in his face, and I'm gonna walk through this for you, because in the end I want to present you before my Father as though you didn't sin, and I'll carry those sins for you." And when you begin to really contemplate that, and you're a room full of people where this very concept, this very reality is what broke our hearts for Jesus, it is just really truly amazing to witness. I had no idea that it was going to be like that, and I really came away so inspired. But the 2 weeks that followed were probably some of the darkest times that I've had since I gave my life back over to Christ. And as you know, when you have a mountaintop experience, the devil is just really upset, and he'll try to, you know, to lay into you and act like he's in charge again.
Well, I really, really love and appreciate what you're sharing. I'm also very, very intrigued because when it comes to the subject matter of same-sex attraction for you and I, this is a topic that we speak to both professionally and personally. I'm recalling when you were on the broadcast the last time you shared with all of our listeners that you spent 40 years living as a gay-identified man. I lived for 17 years as a gay-identified man, but it was through our relationship with Christ that we experienced freedom and new lives in Him. So we're largely, once again, here we are talking about change. And you have at this event, you have men and women coming, sharing that they were once gay-identified, they have new lives in Christ. It just absolutely astounds me that today even, and I experience this as well on a very personal level, people will challenge me saying, you really, really think that it's possible for men and women to change? Well, that's not just my personal opinion. That's based upon God Himself. We say all the time, with God, all things are possible. My question is, do we still believe it? And really, when it comes to change, if you believe in an all-powerful and a sovereign God, how could you not also believe in change?
Right. The big roadblock in the way when you begin to speak with the LGBT plus culture about Christianity and the trustworthiness of Jesus is what exactly is that change? How are we defining that change? And so many from the LGBT community are certain that, because the church has done this for decades, you know, that the opposite of homosexuality was heterosexuality, so we've got to make you heterosexual, you've got to have a wife, you got to have a girlfriend, and these were evidences that, okay, you've changed. And so now they've outlawed, you know, change therapies and all those kinds of things. And there are many things that are done in the name of change that are incorrect, but when we do it under the guidance of the Holy Word, God's Word, that when we allow our heart to be changed, then our behaviors will also change. No, yes. He doesn't promise you that you're going to marry. He doesn't promise that you're going to have erotic desires for the opposite sex. But He does promise that He will help you walk in agreement with Him. And on this earth, that calls for denying self for Christ. This is not the place where we're going to stay forever. And if we just look at the political environment today around the world, we can definitely see that there is chaos, that there's confusion, that if it weren't for the intervention of Jesus Christ, we'd totally destroy ourselves.
Yes.
There's not a great appreciation for one another. But if we put our heads and our hearts in the Word of Jesus Christ, that is our only hope. Jesus offers us something so much better than this world.
I think to some degree we may have shot ourselves in the foot a little bit in that, and you've touched on this, that for a long period of time, change was defined as you would move completely and totally from homosexuality to heterosexuality. Mm-hmm. And that has indeed happened in the lives of some men and women, but not all men and women.
Right.
And I really think we need to consider that this side of heaven, Jesus did not promise us that we would see in each and all of our lives the total resolvement of a very long list of various habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors. But He did say, you need to be born again, according to John 3:3. In other words, He says, you need to be born again. I'm trying to spare your life. Get your eyes off of just the here and now, and also focus on that there is an eternity before you, and you're going to spend it in one of two places.
Right. I want to help those that listen, that perhaps get perplexed and frustrated, LGBT people, many of whom have thought, and like I was told, I didn't even know what gay was until someone, you know, said, oh, you're gay. And then when you begin to establish what that is and what that's made up of, a lot of times it's on mannerisms, it's on what American culture has done by saying whether you're masculine or feminine, or if you don't fit the right role model or the right mold, then you are this or you are that. But that's not what the Word says. That's not what God tells you. I mean, you could be effeminate and you could be a pianist, a florist, a hairdresser, or whatever, and still walk with God and be abiding and living for Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. You're a believer. You're redeemed in Jesus Christ. But He doesn't say, oh, you're gay. And a lot of this has come from with all due respect to the 12-step program, was done great things to help get people sober. But remember, this was done from a secular standpoint, not from a religious or church standpoint, which is what we should have been doing. The one thing that Bill Wilson did to us, though, he put an albatross around our neck and put the idea that since you drank and are tempted to drink, you're an alcoholic forever. But when you come to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, he doesn't say, oh, well, here comes my alcoholic son or my alcoholic daughter. He doesn't say, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. He says, here comes my sober new creation in Christ who is choosing me today instead of drinking. He offers us an identity that's so much better than what the world offers us.
Yes.
And that's the same with the LGBT thing. It's like, accept the gift of identity that Jesus offers us rather than laying claim to or being bothered by the label that others may want to put on you from a worldly perspective.
Yes. I'm thinking of Romans right now. It tells us very clearly that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you know what? My mind was not renewed overnight. How about yours?
Nope. Still renewing every day.
Thank you very much. We are all in process of becoming more and more Christ-like. And you know what I found to be true? That process is going to continue in each of our lives until we either go home to be with Jesus or he comes back to get us.
Yeah.
We have such huge expectations that sometimes we place upon ourselves, and others do as well. God has his perfect timetable for each of our lives. Our role is to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon him who is the author and the perfecter of our faith.
Yes.
But I just want to continue talking a little bit more about change, because there's all kinds of change, and we're all at very various levels of change in terms of working out some things in our lives. And when we have this huge expectation that everything is supposed to resolve overnight, boy, that's a big, tall order.
Yeah, that would be, as you know, God is in the business of miracles, but he doesn't say that the same miracle is going to be for every single person.
Exactly.
But this smoker who, you know, prays and asks for God to take away their desire for smoking, some he has done that, but for others, he allows that desire to remain in order to keep that person's focus on their need for Jesus Christ.
Yes, I agree. Funny you bring up smoking, because, and I've shared before on this broadcast, that when I came to know Christ, all homosexual activity stopped, all drinking stopped, all drugs stopped. It took a long time for me to finally kick those doggone cigarettes. Now, I don't know. I haven't found a scripture where it says, you know, if you smoke, you're going to hell. Now,
right.
is it healthy? No. Is it a good witness?
Right.
No. Will it send you to hell? I don't know, but I know this. It'll make you smell like you've been there and come back.
Yes, that's for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about, because you are the founder and director of Know His Love Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do at Know His Love?
Well, I try to uphold the belief and the trustworthiness of Scripture as it relates to LGBT clarity about who Jesus says we are versus who the world says we are. I try my very best to write articles, to speak, to help people understand that our identity is not based in our attractions, our temptations, our desires, but who Jesus Christ says that we are. Sexual orientation didn't come along until the likes of Alfred Kinsey, who was a self-proclaimed sex researcher, and the horrible things that he did. But today it's adopted by clergy, by chaplains, by psychologists who say that you have a right to your sexual orientation. But our focus is off. We should have our focus on an orientation in Jesus Christ. Sex is a gift of intimacy. That's what it is from in the beginning, from Genesis. But we don't have some roadmap in there that says, well, if you like sex with animals, do this. If you like sex with someone of the same sex, do this. Or if you like to be drawn to both genders, do this. No, God is calling us to purity, his ideals, his standards, and recognizing what the enemy has done. It is the great controversy. How did I refer people back to what happened in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
There was war in heaven. Why was there war? Well, Satan went around, or Lucifer at the time, and not, you know, he wanted to be the one campaigning for equal rights, but actually more than that, he wanted to be better than God, and he told the holy beings of heaven that they were holy beings and that they should follow the dictates of their own will. And so he's doing the same thing to you and I today, that we should go by what we desire, not by what God is asking of us. So yes, we can have an awful lot of Bible truths, and we have many people, you know, I'm in the Adventist denomination, we have people that are in Methodists or Catholics or whatever the case may be. You may know your denomination very well and the doctrines of the denomination, but unless you actually have a practical relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ, you really don't have anything more than book knowledge. And so what I want to share today is that as we walk with God, you may have all kinds of truths, experiences that you share with people, but unless you're experiencing the personal relationship, the intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you still don't have anything other than book truth. We need an experiential relationship with Jesus Christ in order to decide that we want to deny ourselves, to serve him and walk with him and look to what he offers us eternally.
Ultimately, it really truly is about the lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. And you and I have known one another for quite some time now, so I'm very well of your personal testimony and what you've been doing at Know His Love Ministries. And His Way Out, our focus again is always bringing it back to the authority of Scripture. That's what's paramount, especially today with so much challenge going on regarding the whole subject matter of homosexuality and many, many related issues. It's ultimately about what God has said. And you know what I found to be true? When God speaks on a topic, He speaks the final word.
Yes.
And He has clearly, clearly spoken His word about homosexual practice. So that has to be our foundation, God's truth, His absolute truth.
Yeah. The danger today is, as I am finding it within my own denomination, and, you know, here I've written this book called Line by Line about another book, which is called Guiding Families of LGBT Plus Loved Ones. And the author of that book has written an Adventist edition, and there's also multiple editions, extended editions, and more that are available out there for anybody from any denomination. But the basis of this book, and interestingly, the man that wrote the book lived in LGBT plus culture, but doesn't seem to want to make that clear to anyone. It's almost like it's saying, like, I'm one of the guys, I'm one of the good old guys kind of thing, and I'm not going to reflect on my past. I don't know, but that's what I pick up. And what it is this approach to pastors, to educators today, that say we just need to accept LGBT people, period. Now, I believe that God receives us as we are. He receives the LGBT plus person, the person who's drank their whole lives, the person who's committed adultery, the person who's stolen, the person who has murdered. He receives us. But unfortunately, the language used in this book, and I hear from multiple other places, it's about acceptance, affirmation, and tolerance. And in the Word of God, where do you see acceptance, affirmation, and tolerance of sin? So first we need to recognize that God receives us. He loves us greatly and deeply, but never does He leave a true follower the way He found them. As we begin to walk with God, we are in His Word, we are at His feet, we are praying and we're asking for guidance daily, and He begins that transforming process. When the Holy Spirit convicted our hearts and we gave our lives to Him, now we're walking with Him, and that change, which is progressive up until, I mean, the transforming process isn't complete until Jesus comes.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the books that are written, or this particular book, the Guiding Families book, is all about indoctrination, applying only certain aspects of Scripture, perhaps, you know, again, the love and the acceptance, but nothing about helping the person learn about what it would, that would honor and glorify Jesus Christ, letting go of sinful practices. you know, that's the same as in a 12-step program. You know, you learn those trigger points, the temptations that come. You don't want to place yourself around temptation or do things that are going to lead you down committing the offense, or in this situation, you know, committing sin again before God, because otherwise you'll be so enticed by those things. They are generally pleasurable and pacifying, but that's it. They only pacify you for as long as you're indulging, and then suddenly you just really don't, you feel empty, or that you have failed God, or that you've failed your family. And so what is so important today to me is to write about the fact that we can discover our true identity in Jesus Christ by coming to Him, agreeing with Him, living for Him, identifying in Him, and always going back to Scripture. In other words, don't listen to Wayne Blakely, or in this situation to Bill Henson, who wrote the Guiding Families books, but that you go back with either one of those individuals or yourself and say, is what this person said, is that, does that go in agreement with the teachings of Scripture? Because if they do, then that's certainly a valid witness and a valid testimony of what Jesus does. But I find that there are hundreds in the world today that are taking, it's a pick and choose, it's like a menu. Well, I'll take this. I'll take monogamy, but I won't take the fact that God is asking for it between a man and a woman. I'll have it between a same-sex person, and God will certainly accept that because He would want me to love someone.
Yes.
Well, we have to go back to make sure, is that truly what God said, or are we doing what the enemy did and saying once again that we're going to follow the dictates of our will instead of His?
We have about 2 minutes left, so two quick questions. One, when will the book be coming out, and how can people get a copy?
You can go to knowhislove.org, and the book is slated to be done by the end of November. You can pre-order it now.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, sir, once again, I always appreciate you being here and always what you have to share and offer. Would you take us out of the program this morning, please, by closing us in prayer?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are merciful, that Romans 8:5-8 says that You died for us while we were still sinners. You shed Your blood for us, knowing, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come and reach us, hearts that would respond to You, that we would let go of this world for Jesus Christ. I pray for those who are listening, for parents and family not to give up, and for those who are identifying as LGBT+, that there is something better. I understand where you're coming from. I experienced this. But today, God does have something, an identity in Jesus Christ that He offers you. And I pray that He will empower you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. For all of our listeners, if you'd like more information regarding Know His Love Ministries, the website address is knowhislove.org. And for information about His Way Out Ministries, our website address is hiswayout.com. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you'll join me again next Saturday, same time, same station. And until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.